At present, there are 187 Native American languages, 149 of them threatened by extinction. Languages die if the people who speak them die. As we all know, the English only boarding schools established by the US government assisted this process of loss in North America by punishing students for using their native languages. One Indian woman from British Columbia, when asked if she had difficulty communicating when she left school, answered, "Oh yeah, I had a real difficulty, mostly in pronouncing words, thinking in Indian, that sort of thing." Tonight, I'm truly honored to introduce you to Tohono O'odham poet, scholar, and educator, Ophelia Zepeda, an associate professor of linguistics at the University of Arizona. She has worked extensively with Papagos and Pimas in the areas of linguistics, language teaching, and curriculum development. She's the author of A Papago Grammar, making a significant contribution to a language for which a written system was developed only in the 1960s. She has contributed as author and editor to two books of Native American literature, The South Corner of Time, an anthology of Hopi, Navajo, Papago, and Yaqui tribal literature, When It Rains, an anthology of Papago and Pima poetry, and as editor of the newly released anthology, Home Places, Native American Writing from Sun Tracks. When her collection, Ocean Power, Poems from the Desert, came out in 1995, it was a significant event, not only for the clarity, wit, and power of her imagery, but also for the fact that the book is the first written literary work by an individual Tohono O'odham and by an individual in Tohono O'odham and English, a landmark in Native American literature and an act of cultural preservation. Her new book, Earth Movements, will be coming out from Tucson's Coré Press with a CD. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Ophelia Zepeda.
Thank you, Allison. I also want to thank the Poetry Center for inviting me to participate in their reading series as their local participant. And of course, I want to thank all of the wonderful supporters of the Poetry Center as well. What I'd like to do this evening is just read a little bit from the collection that Allison mentioned, the Ocean Power collection, and then what I'd like to do is read from the newer collection that Coré Press is working on. And the collection from Coré Press is primarily a bilingual collection. The forms are, or the pieces are in O'odham and English as well. So anyway, I'd like to read from that one specifically this evening. But let me start with something that is sort of in between these two collections in a way, and it is a bilingual piece, and I decided to put it in. I had sort of talked to myself of not doing the rain set, but since it rained so nicely this evening, I thought I would go ahead and do one anyway. But anyway, let me go ahead and start with that one, and then I'll go to the original set that I had planned on doing. And in O'odham, I call this one, well, it's just a little phrase that says, "Bo ag mashap himagajuk, bo ag mashap himagajuk." It loosely translates as, "It is heard, or it is rumored, or it is said that the rain's coming." Okay, so we know that it wasn't a rumor. Okay. Bo agamashap himagajuk, shagupo mopi woho, nipikoitat gajuit, mut moisi kachkit, spio ihoinet, jonyundat, shagupo mopi woho, nipikoitat gagadam kachin mut the gusua usimosuuchkat, shagupo mopi woho, nipikoitat gakuwa de matsuhokimo ima. Shagupo mopi woho. Nen piko hilgi dixua us jewet. Matakuwa bo uat. Nya. Hakukit opisha iwoho. Machoju. Someone said, or else it's rumored that it's going to rain. I think it is not so because I have not felt the earth and the way that it holds still in anticipation. I think it is not so because I have not felt the sky become heavy with moisture of preparation. I think it is not so because I have not felt the winds move with their coolness. I think it is not so because I have not inhaled the sweet wet dirt the winds bring. So there is no truth that it is going to rain. So that's the only rain one we have. So. There's a little set in here in the book that I rarely ever read, and so I'm going to do about three pieces from that section. And I believe the section has to do, well, I identify it as the part that deals with people and so forth. But this section on the people is the one that is a little section about women's hair or other people's hair, I suppose. But I envision them as being women's hair. And so the first one I want to read is called Her Hair is Her Dress. And this is partially true event about a woman who collected her hair her whole life. Any piece of hair that she combed from her brush, she pulled out and kept it. When her hair was cut, she kept it all her adult life. And she did live to be a little over 100 years old, about 105. And in her room, that was her space, she had all these gunny sacks of hair in the corner from her whole life, because she lived there all her life. And she told me about those gunny sacks of hair one day, and she said that she believed that she didn't want to leave any of her hair any place that where she thought that she would have to go back and collect after she died. And so she made sure she knew where it all was. So this is about that woman. And then part of it is about how you work with hair when you comb hair and when you part your hair and how you know your part is straight. So her hair is her dress. She lived to be over 100 years old. She told her children, "When I die, make a pillow for me out of my hair." She had saved her hair all those years. She used to say, "I don't want to be scratching through the ashes looking for my hair." In the end, her head did rest on her pillow of hair. She pulls and twists, braiding, talking, pulling words down the length of the hair. Make the part straight. Be sure she is in balance. Follow the path to the rabbit's nest. The place at the base of the skull, that private place that is hers alone. The other place where the heartbeat is visible through the skin. A tender place, vulnerable. Hit her there, her knees buckle, and she falls face down at your feet. A place so tender, only a baby rabbit might sleep. And that's what they call that little spot back there. Gosh, rabbit's nest. And we all have one, and that's the direction you're supposed to head when you part your hair. And so your part is supposed to be straight. However, sometimes your rabbit's nest is slightly off-center, and your part will end up off-center if you do follow the rabbit's nest. And this one also is, again, like I said, because her immediately associated with women, the one called Stolen Hair is also based on a true event, and this was one that happened to me, that someone cut my hair without my knowing it at the Fiesta de los Vaqueros parade. about 15 years ago, they did that. Somebody cut it, and I didn't notice it till way later. So, of course, we had to cut it some more to get it even. So, anyway, so this is kind of from that event. Stolen hair. It happened at the rodeo parade. Someone cut her hair. Someone, a crazy person, a witch maybe. Took her hair for a sacrifice, for decoration, for a magic charm, perhaps. Since then, there were other stories. One woman said, someone took her hair in a movie theater. She said, it was my fault because I like to throw it over the back of the chair. Another said, I was riding the Greyhound bus home. I fell asleep and was dreaming. I dreamt of how my sister used to comb my long hair for me. She used to pull it hard. When I woke, I found over 12 inches gone. These women will search the ashes for their hair when they leave this earth. So we know what we'll be doing when we looking for our hair. So, but it's true, when that happened to me, I mentioned to some Indian women, some Navajo women in around campus, and then they started telling me stories about their hair. So be careful where you hang your hair. Mm-hmm. And then finally, this one is the Little Autumn Ladies out on the reservation. Several years ago, a colleague and I from anthropology did a dialect study out on the reservation, and all our participants were men and women, Autumn men and women over 55 years old, because it was a language study. And we used to love visiting with the older women. In fact, we had trouble finding older men. Women were eager to work with us, but the men were being shy, or else just low in number, just the mortality rate of Indian men. So we used to notice how these women would fix their hair when we'd come to visit them, because they get all nice and dressed up just so that we could sit there and under their ramada and interview them. But they had this collection of nice hairpins in their hair. So this is that one. This is real short. It's just called Hairpins. They glitter like broken glass on black asphalt. Dime store hairpins of clear plastic, rhinestones, glass diamonds, and multicolored aluminum strips. Little hairpins, plastic combs all placed at intervals around her hair. They glisten, sparkle, throwing light all around her, giving her a halo. So, anyway, those were the women. I want to invite the people that are standing, if you want to sit down, we're going to be here for a little while. please sit down. This first one is one of a piece that I've been working on for quite some time, and it's a bit long. I mean, it's long. I think it's sort of a long piece now, but I think it's going to get longer. So I sort of, stopped it at a point for you. But at one point, I've been sort of thinking about women and how they handle things like dirt. And I've come across women, and we've talked about dirt, and I've come across women who still gather plants, potatoes and things like that, wild plants, and it's interesting how their hands look, because they do that kind of work every now and then. So anyway, I've been sort of paying attention to those things about women. The other thing that I've been doing is I've been tasting dirt. We eat a lot of dirt for different reasons. We're given dirt when we're first born and at different stages of our life. Between those different stages, you can taste dirt or eat dirt if you so desire or have a craving or whatever. But anyway, I've been tasting dirt in different places of the state. Where we go, I've tasted different levels of the Grand Canyon, I think, the different geologic phases. They have different flavors, I'll let you know. I've tasted the dirt that the different ruins up on the northern part of the reservation and so forth, because they are from different periods of time, just to see, you know, what they taste like. And anyway, they're quite distinct. So anyway, so this one came from that, the business about dirt. Okay, some more people came in. If you want to find a seat. Oh, you get to sit right in front. Ooh. Okay, it's nice to see you guys. You get stuck on the other side of the washer. Anyway, so this is, I'm just calling it dirt, okay? It seems lately I've been craving dirt. I long to see the way it lays on freshly turned fields, to see it cling to equipment that digs deep beneath the surface. I not only long to see it, but to taste it. I taste it through my nostrils when suddenly dry dirt becomes wet from a garden hose. It seems that that is not enough. I smell the dirt and swallow, a sympathetic sensory reaction. A Hopi friend once told me that Hopi children lick the sides of adobe houses. I know many women, when cleaning dry beans, search out the tiny pieces of dirt, place them on their tongue, and let them melt. Old women smokers drop ashes so daintily from their cigarettes onto their palm, onto their tongue. I walk through a hardware store. I find myself in the foliage of the garden section. Bougainvilleas, Mexican bird of paradise, oleander, paracanthus, rose bushes, all kinds of acacias don't make an impression. Instead, I am attracted to the freshly watered dirt. Mixed together, it runs down the sides of 5 and 10 gallon buckets. From the drain holes, the mixture makes a trail onto the cement. I watch it run into cracks and seams to settle and dry. As I walk through the garden area, I am further drawn in the direction of the center of the garden shop world, the potting soils, mixtures, and bags of fertilizer. Their aroma is intensified by the humidity of the plants. I feel its warmth. The fertility is strangely comforting. Doing electrical wiring in our house, we bore holes into the adobe walls. Rivers of dry dirt began to flow. The house is over 30 years old, so I know the dirt is clean. When the opportunity arose, I wet my finger and I lifted the dirt and put it on my tongue. It tasted the way I thought it would. A woman once told me, when we were children, we would suck the syrup from ocotillo blossoms, syrup normally only accessible to hummingbirds, bees, and bats. She said, we gathered the blossoms and set them so the syrup would collect in a little puddle in the soft dirt. And then we ate it. It was just a little dirt, and it was clean dirt. I know what she means by clean dirt. There are many who think they know dirt, clay, mud, by other restructurings. But potters, cement workers, and anyone else who claims an occupation with the stuff doesn't know what children know. They have spent the whole childhood walking on it, unshod, felt the hard, solid, and smooth wetness. Children know how unforgiving it can be. There is no recourse as the dirt makes its way into shoes, embedding itself into unsuspecting fibers, causing whites to go brown, a brown many mothers who pride themselves on the whiteness of their whites can be thrown into a despair from which they cannot recover. It is truly difficult to distinguish whether cold dirt or hot dirt is harder for kneeling. Catholic Mass celebrated outdoors. The summer's heat already settles in, even at 10 a.m., as the faithful endure the kneeling. And what seems like endless minutes of standing, feet flattening into the dirt. All of this before Vatican II. And in the winter, Christmas midnight mass, the dark, cold dirt floor of a winter solstice is no friend of a child having to endure the kneeling of the faithful. So anyway, let me stop it there. But like I said, it does go on. And then of the new collection that I'm doing with Corey Press, as I said, that is all a bilingual collection. The pieces all are in Odum and then with English facing. And I just want to warn the people who are Odum English bilingual in the audience that they will notice that the Odum, of course, doesn't directly correspond word by word into English, but sort of the theme and many of the ideas are the same. So anyway, there's a set within that collection that I like to think deals with people and personalities, and so I'll start with that set. And this one's one that I had been thinking of for a long time, and I didn't realize that there were certain things that had made impressions on me when I was younger, and some of these points here are because of adult relatives that I had, of course, as a child, and how they behaved at different times. And so there's one here that's about women, I believe, and there's one about men. And I'll go ahead and read those for you. Let's see. Actually, let me just do the women one. And I'll start with the autumn form first. Jamartachu matapo masket. Jamartachu eat the mu'u matapo masket. Po masket the mok patsy klein. Gada itam hea woha. Jamuki the pchuik. Jigaskok tahta. Bihaki trei unigak skirk shush. She got a sap chicker to mot tennis. Gahua oo yellow front them. Chida it a nyay the mosuagi masker ipot. Dorta warpida. What's the moy cock? Dorta masker in a wooch a kusawa on. Could I eat a moo? Hia waha hap chuik. Hashajur hanan to the go eepot. Biha wapdon. Ashikusis bakut gutch and assisis. Gus oi garoba. Chicket not a night. Jamarthachum with a whoop or masket. Just cooker when you mutter. Just whoop up chichin. Sapper oo. Did the mutter hear war hup chuik? Chuchu chu mutter. Just a go he hit paddock. Mugusgok. I mu'i hukum nanagya. Chuk a nyait. Chitachum at the bottom of the masket. To be like Patsy Cline. Yet the women seem to be all the same. Thick, wide feet. No pretty smart shoes as possessions. They are destined to canvas shoes, tennis from yellow front. And they look at this one, the one who sports a red silk dress with fringes, white calfskin boots, a white scarf around her neck. Yet the women seem to be the same, homemade dresses with no buttons. Instead, safety pins for holding her together. The material a loud print for everyone to hear. And they look at this one, curled hair, red lips, appearing like she always smells pretty. Yet the women seem to be all the same. Coarse long braids that hang down, trying to reach those streams. Anyway, that's about those women. And then sort of the counterpart to this is the one on men, and this is the one about my male adult relatives. And in Adam, the title is Matpudachum Skukchu. And something like, the gloss is something like evidently or supposedly the handsome one, something like that. Matpudachum Skukchu. Sapu vikamo ahuhudakut. Vaikyosik. Sapu kiivi spearmint. Skug muskard mogus uam and wuched a kusuwaan. Gus moi kokiwana. Stota humuchich gamish. Mogus tota wapton. Shariwich shaisi stuchk chetumuchich. Shariwich. Kahuhuk, momi shashinawa, ekstut dwarpadach, moshaisi suvapadak. The handsome one. The smell of three flowers hair cream, spearmint gum, a bright yellow scarf around his neck, suede leather hat, starched white shirt with pearl snap buttons. New black stiff Levi's ending at his black shiny boots. So, anyway, so those are the men. And then, also from that same collection, and this one is from the title piece. And the title piece in Adam is called Juwet Ihoy. Juwet is the noun for earth or land. And Ihoy is to move, not move as in rotate or anything like that. It's a different kind of move. So the earth moves sort of like, of course, as if it were alive, so it has a certain type of movement. Juwet Ihoy. And so in English, I sort of glossed it as earth movement, so that's the collection. So anyway, this one, Juwet Ihoy, this one begins with a phrase that my mother used to say every now and then, especially in the morning. And she said she would ask us, or she'd ask, and she'd say, "Naptatk matihoyk juwet." And literally, it says, "Did you feel the earth move?" And I never knew whether she meant it was like a little bit of a tremor or something like that, or else something else. And I used to think that she's meant that at some point in the night she felt the earth actually rotating on its axis. So that's the way it begins, and that is the phrase, Juwet Ihoy, that's where that comes from. And the other part of this piece is certainly influenced by when scientists claim to have discovered how stars are made. So they said stars are born, that they're embryonic, you know, that they go through that some embryonic process. So I was very intrigued by that. So that's sort of in here as well. Well, in this set here, not in this particular one, but in this set as well. So anyway, so this is about a woman and Chiwet Ihoy and earth movements. Chiwet Ihoy. Kusas chuhap aag matabot chui. Anyap taht kamat si Ihoy ka Chiwet. Napisha itaht ka ahpi. Bia. Nya. Kusas chuhap aag. Kut pamsakap aag matosha ahay ka Chiwet. Ko Ihoy. Ano hagap aag. Matsikoro mudat. Magamirgana paaga. Rotation. Nya. Kut pums hagap aak. Mohuke tahtk. Kut pums a buurit. Mo an hkuk ita jiwa da dam. An daa. Dam kachim oic. Jusha juga ga jiwa. Hab masma matamach hamak smonit gam kau yo chushit chuk. An madat chiga moot shurim an avido tuhu'u mohita gubs oic. Skuk hab a mas. Hag an awa majiv yapboi. Mo an gom chukuk tash. Chika hu amjit I bupu si arik tagyo amjit. Gamu hukam hu dunik tagyo. Nya. Kut hage. Masha de masha tit o adam. O si ir hamat. Macha no beach. Riding the earth. She said she felt the earth move again. I never knew whether she meant she felt a tremor or whether it was the rotation of the earth. I like to think she felt the rotation because anyone can feel a tremor. And when she felt this, she could see herself standing on the earth's surface, her thick, wide feet solidly planted, toes digging in. Her visualization so strong, she almost feels her body arch against the centrifugal force of the rotation. She sees herself with her long hair floating in an atmosphere of stardust. She rides her planet the way a child rides a toy. Her company is the boy who takes the sun on its daily journey, and the man in the moon smiles as she passes by. So. So I think that would be a nice trip to take every now and then. Now, this is the one that was certainly influenced by the way that stars are born. And that's the title of this Hu Atamasi, The Birth of Stars. And not only was this piece sort of influenced by that information about how stars are formed, but also by different journeys that people take, the Odam people take in their stories, and then also journeys that perhaps some of you in here have taken on this with this bus company in Mexico, that some of us have done at least once in a lifetime, which is more than enough. In the introduction to this collection for Corre Press, I was talking about this particular bus line. And I didn't know how far south they went. I've taken it from the state of Chihuahua up to Sonora, to Nogales. But in the introduction, I said that it's possible that they go all the way south down to Tierra del Fuego. And some of them look like they go down to Tierra del Fuego and back to Nogales in one day. So it's that kind of bus line. You know, it's one of those sort of mystical kind of bus lines. Anyway, so those kind of trips and journeys certainly influenced this piece, and it's been more than 15 years or so that I've ridden on that bus, but there are some Greyhound bus lines that are about the same as well, and I've ridden more Greyhound bus systems also for a lifetime. So anyway, so that kind of journey is in here as well, and journeys going to all kinds of strange places that where events have happened, and then certainly events will be happening soon. And then certainly I included some stuff here about from our traditional literature about Coyote and how he handles the star-making thing. So this is called Hu Atamasi, Stars Are Born. Hu Atamasi. Nyeit o matamasi ku'u matam anahto juut kuups shutak huwur muh sikuhkam an abui amim jamuha pai isho amanyait matamasi ku'u tres estrellas de oro. O tush I da ka apo mu, amai mata kuhugam am ha apo wop. O am ha apo wop, mata mi shonawa, I anato I da jiwut. O am ha apo wop, mata mo I kukt, bi a haichuch I da jiwut. Nya, amata ap maasi kuhu. Kut pumsip chuik, Chor shwaka de kha chu'a. Mato shamu kamatich. Mato shachu. Mato shawoh pagamamatich. O mato gaban an haso mumadach an has hagantat. Amihim. Jamhubi ishoh. Jamanyait. Mat ammahsi. Amanyait. Matamasi ku'u. The birth of a star. They have seen the place where stars are born. They are embryonic. Hydrogen gas, microscopic dust, carbon, ultraviolet radiation, evaporation, and erosion in space. On the journey and somewhere along the way, they stopped and saw. They saw the place where stars are born. Tres estrellas de oro. Take a ride to that place where the ancestors have gone, or travel to the place where the earth was created, or travel to the place where the earth will end, or travel to the place where stars are born. And they wondered if perhaps the mother cries, if her birth stars burn out, become cold. And they wonder if perhaps the mother cries, if her birth stars fall in a shower. And they wonder if perhaps the mother cries, if her birth stars are scattered about and abused by coyote. On the journey, and somewhere along the way, they stopped and saw. They saw the place where stars are born. So I like that one a lot. I like the way it worked out for me. In that it included a lot of things that I had been thinking about, and with that thing about discovering how stars are made, it kind of helped me put it together. And I had been carrying around that thing about the bus for a long, long time and to figure out how to use it. So let me see some more bus ones here. pretty soon. And then, of course, we have a little animal section, which is always my favorite, both in the early collection and then, of course, in this one. And I'd like to end with two pieces, one from the collection and one from the book. And the one that I want to start with here is the one about the little coyotes, and this is the one about the song, since the last one ended with the little coyotes, and how, at least how Adam and other tribes say the same thing about how coyote helped to make the universe, especially in scattering the stars. In Adam, there's one story that says he was hungry and he went into a shed or a where they kept food and so forth, and he grabbed a container full of different grains and seeds and so forth. Sometimes it's cornmeal that he dragged out, and they chased him, and he took off, sort of running about and sprinkled and sprayed the cornmeal about, and so that's what came to be our universe and our stars. So that's why that one ended that way, about the stars. Anyway, this one on coyote, and then the last one on a whole set of animals. This one is a song, an Adam song, that this old man, who's no longer around, a medicine man, sang on a tape recording that I found at the Folklore Center, and I transcribed it and kept it. And other people have copied it, and they sing it. I don't sing, so I just read them for you. And this one's, well, we labeled it Baben Ganogochipia. And it just says coyotes moving over there. But moving, chipia says when you move, it's the way humans move. Like when you move from one apartment to another, you know, you have to pack up all your stuff. And, you know, it's not just like sort of taking off. It's that kind of moving. So this song sings about coyote and their families and how they move from place to place. So Baben Ganogochipia. Baben ganhu gochipia, baben ganhu gochipia, kutamama mat kamakaku, kutamama mat kamakaku, pam to chipia, kutamama mat kamakaku, wash no wash on oidak. Coyotes moving along over there, coyotes moving along over there, someone go over there and ask them, someone go over there and ask them, where are you guys moving to, running along the foothills? Running along the foothills. Someone go over there and ask them, where are you guys moving to? With baby's new tennis shoes and her Merle Haggard and Hank William tapes in the Bash's grocery bag and his cowboy boots in another. All worldly goods packed up, moving. Someone go over there and ask them, someone go over there and ask them, where are you guys moving to? So anyway, so that's a little bun one. This final set is one that also I had been thinking about for a long time, and some of the imagery and the behavior of animals that I say happens is based on my seeing animals and watching animals sometimes, either in their natural setting or else in our local museums and such. And then certainly reading about some of them as well. And so I sort of put this little set that this is some of their behavior or appearances. And if you don't watch animals, then it might, you know, motivate you to watch animals much more closely, especially the desert animals. So anyway, so this one is just called Damkachimihimdam. And Damkachimihimdam, for all them people, they distinguish animals. Damkachimihimdam. Damkachim is the earth surface or land. And Damkachim Himdam is anything that walks on land. And it doesn't literally have to walk on the land. It's something that normally has to settle or rest every now and then on land or on trees and rocks and or on water. And then you have, you know, animals that fly more than spend time on the earth's surface. So that's how they make those distinctions. And so in English, the gloss is those that walk the earth. And so anyway, so this is a group on animals. And I have butterflies and bats and scorpions and several others. So anyway, like I said, I hope you recognize them as well. Hoho Gimart. Hoho Gimart. Skugat. Skugat. Chums Hyosigimchu. Butterfly, butterfly. With beauty. The pull to be a flower is forever strong. Nanakamart. Shudak Amsir Chundat. Kachuhuk Uta. Anhananama. Hakash and Hyosik. Bat. Gently the water is kissed. By moonlight, the courting of saguaro blossoms. Nakshar. Kushat kapai. Sta'ubitama. Humoa. Amhote wicho uustokch. Humoa. Scorpion. A crooked tail to be feared. Surely all stones must go unturned. Jiaduk, Suam, Stuk, Suwuk, Hujurkam, Jin Oimut, Nyashoiga, Oansum Nyanok, Kutusir Kokamagajuwut, Chim, Gila Monster. Yellow, black, red. A solitary wanderer. My horse senses you. Yet, with each movement, the earth is embraced. Jamamak. Bishamunim an oimut. Sikorim skok. Samuhadik. Sanak. Aginharika hyosik. Horn-toad, a silent traveler, thickly round, unflattering colors, squash blossoms await you. Huchut, suwupigim unyanigit, suwuk toton, chuk toton, tohta toton, waokchanyanda, unyanigit. Lizard, with lightning strikes, red ants, black ants, white ants, lying in wait with lightning strikes. Vipismar, nyenye anhimchut, ar'a'an anabatanyim, nyibitagat. Hummingbird, moving with songs, little wings beating in my heart. Thank you very much.